time for Sports Lit 101 here on the program. And Bruce joins us in studio. We're loving life because Bruce is here.
Yeah, well, I'm really glad that for my sort of return here to the studio that this I got this book. Now, this came to me, came to us from Miles Schrag, who his dad was on the show about the Kansas Relay book that he wrote. And Miles was the editor of To Imogene, A Love Story. This is the second work by Solstice Publishing that he founded. And it's a remarkable story. You know, there are people that you hear about and you may see in a moment on television or something, but you know, you don't really know, and you know, may know all their accomplishments, but you don't know anything about them. And so the name Joe Vigil to most people, but it turns out it's pronounced Joe V. Hill. It's a Latino name, is the most successful track and field coach probably in the history of the world. And it would be very difficult for anybody to argue that. In a few minutes, we'll get into what those accomplishments really are. But he's a more remarkable story as a human being. He's 90 years old. He still coaches elite athletes. He's still involved with the U.S. Olympic track and field team. And he was not himself a distance runner. He came from Alamosa, Colorado. He was born in the least affluent section of town, raised by his mom. He attended Alamosa High School, where he played football. And he won a scholarship to Adams State College, which is in Alamosa, which was then an NAIA school. And for years, I will admit a certain sort of snobbishness about NAIA schools, but now I'm beginning to think that really the NAIA may have been a little smarter than the NCAA. But he got into coaching track and got into coaching cross country, and he did so with remarkable results. And these are just some of Coach V. Hill's accomplishments. In 29 years as the head coach of cross country and track and field at Adams State College, he won 19 national collegiate team championships. That's a remarkable thing in itself. And they were NAIA from 65 to 91, and from 92 to 93, they were Division II NCAA. He coached 425 All-Americans, 87 individual national champions. He was 14 times National Coach of the Year. And the one I really love, 95% graduation rate for student athletes during his coaching career. Wow. 95%. And NAIA schools didn't have any higher or lower graduation rates as a rule in NCAA. Then, in the 20 years he coached after that of elite athletes, 17 national records, 47 individual senior champions, and this one, 20 podium medals at the Olympic Games track and field and World Championship cross-country track and field. He is the only active coach with medalists at the World Championships in both cross-country and track. Three athletes that he coached were ranked number one in the world, and he trained and coached 22 Olympians. But he also was the coach for one of the most amazing feats ever in college running. In 1992, his nationally ranked cross-country team won the national championship with a perfect score. Now, I've only seen one cross-country high school meet with a perfect score. And for people that don't know how cross-country is scored, the perfect score is 15. That means you came in 1 through 5. You had the first 5 places. So the higher score at a cross-country meet is not good, the lower score. No one has ever done that at any division level ever again, men or women. And the thing about it, it's remarkable, is it was supposed to be a rebuild year for Coach V. Hill. He took time in his life to get a PhD in kinesiology. So he's not just a guy who was a good track coach. He studied and learned how athletes can best process their training routines. But all of those things aside, I brought them in right away to give his bona fides or his bona fides. This is a story about a man who changed the kids' lives that he coached. He didn't get the blue chippers. He found kids in New Mexico and Arizona and Colorado who really wanted to go to college. And this was a way for them to go to college. And he trained them to become absolutely elite athletes. And he did it his own way. Unfortunately, when they went to the NCAA, he couldn't do those things anymore. He couldn't take a kid that was having a down day and say, we're going to go to the campus cafe, buy a chicken dinner, and drink some coffee, and we're going to talk about the things you need to do to reach your potential. He couldn't say to a kid who was exhausted because he went to school, he was working a job, and had to ride his bicycle, I'll give you a ride to practice today, don't worry about it. He can't do those kinds of things under the NCAA guidelines, some of which are so absurdly strict, it's crazy. But he clearly cared about every kid, and they would ask him at age 80, what about that team you had in 74? And he'd go, oh, the one with, and he could remember, and these kids, and as I say, he's still coaching and speaking. And there are excerpts in this book. Again, it's called Chasing Excellence, The Remarkable Life and Inspiring Vigilosophy of Coach Joe I. Vigil. And his runners are called Vigilantes, spelled like it. Vigilantes. Yeah. The foreword to this book is by Billy Mills. I would, in my lifetime, the two most exciting sporting events I ever saw was the 10,000 meters in the 64 Olympics, where Billy Mills came from the back of the pack to win. And you can still hear the announcer going, it's Mills! It's Billy Mills! Oh, it's Billy Mills! I get just filled with joy when I think about that and the miracle. Because I still don't believe the miracle happened, and every time I see it in a movie, I'm worried it's going to be a different ending. Billy Mills wrote the foreword, and he said some things about Coach Vigil in the foreword, and I read it, and I thought, well, that's nice. You know, a great guy wrote this wonderful testament to him. And then I read all of the book, and I realized that they were all true. But just to give you an idea of how hard his teams worked, on Monday, they went to a local park where there's a 700-meter grass oval, and they would do a workout of 16 laps, starting at 2 minutes per loop and getting faster as the season went on. During the track and field season, distance runners would run. And I hope any of you coaches out there just see if we ever could have done this, those of us who coached here. 2400s on Mondays at 65 seconds, one-to-one rest. Run one, rest one. Middle distance runners would do a combination of 200s, 300s, and 400s faster than race pace. If we tried, we would be arrested for child abuse if we ever suggested doing those kinds of workouts. And some of these workouts took place where the final altitude was 11,000 feet.
Oh, my God.
They would be running all the time around 6 or 7 thousand feet. Now, the guy who wrote the book, Pat Melgaris, was a runner and an All-American for Coach Vigil. And he had his purpose in writing this book was, I think, to sort of bring it into the daylight. as I said, Coach Vigil has a Bachelor's of Arts in Biology, taught high school science for, I think, 12 years before he transferred. Before he finished his MA and doctorate. He has two masters, one in education, one in chemistry, and a doctorate from the University of New Mexico. He's traveled all over the world. He has coached athletes from virtually he's coached athletes on every continent, well, except Antarctica. But he's coached in every other continent. He's constantly summoned all around the world. He's one of the most sought-after people, and yet for years, to me, and you know how much I love track and field, and I loved coaching track and field, he was this name. To know that there's a guy who's this good out there, who isn't as well known as Bill Belichick, who, you know, would arguably be considered probably the best coach in football today, his accomplishments, with no disrespect to him, pale by what's happened here. He coached in 2 Olympics, 4 Pan American Games, Weldon University Game, a World Cup, 7 World Cross Country Championships. But most importantly, the USATF, I have a lot of regard for, and I don't often for those kinds of organizations, but I think in track and field they do a very, very good job. They created, Coach V. Hill and two other guys, created all the educational materials here using today, back in the late 60s and early 70s, because nobody has improved upon them. They've added to them, they've tweaked them. I'm not suggesting they remain exactly the same. But that was, to him, his biggest goal. And they asked him the most important thing that ever happened. He talked about all the things he coached and all that. He said it was being able to do that, knowing that the legacy would be that the people coaching track and field would have the right kind of literature to go to find out how to do it. And you and I have both been coaches, and we've seen some idiot coaches in our days. You know, and a lot of times it's because no one could show them the right way. USATF's materials are really good. I've, you know, over the years read and seen them, but this is really a cool book, and you don't have to be a fan of running, but it is a remarkable life story. It's one of the best biographies I've read in a long, long time.
Excellent. And the title again?
Chasing Excellence, The Remarkable Life and Inspiring Philosophy of Coach Joe I. V. Hill from Solstice, that's Soulstice, by Pat Melgarius, with a foreword by the great Billy Mills.
Excellent. Now, next week, you'll be up to camp.
I will be up at camp, and there's just no way that phone's going to work up there.
But what's ahead when you return on Sports?
We have a couple of things. I'm finally going to read Fever Pitch by Nick Hornby, because so many people have been telling me to do that, and because I find it writing about soccer more interesting than watching soccer. Also, there's a new Athlon out with lots of great sports poetry in it. So over the 2 weeks following that, and then I'm going to try and set up a chance to talk to some of the authors that we've whose books we've recently talked about as we get into the season. That is probably not going to happen